you hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. On the line, I got Ken Silverstein, writing at harpers.org on the blog there, Shaky Foundations. Welcome back, Ken. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Appreciate you joining us today. Hey, so great article. You know, I was thinking when I was reading this, these Clintons, they're just like the cops. They think they can get away with it, and they know they're right. And so they act like it. There's no law that applies to them, and not even shame. They're willing to just go ahead and do whatever the hell they want. So the news here is they have updated their tax returns, and they've been audited. So do tell, sir, please. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I agree with you exactly about, you know, when there's no deterrent, when you know you have impunity and you can get away with anything, you continue to behave badly. It's just obvious. I mean, in the case of the death penalty, you know, I don't believe that the death penalty deters crime or, you know, people from killing each other, because people kill each other, you know, in the flash of a moment, or they plan it out for revenge. You know, there are things that, you know, you're always going to have people killing each other. And you can't stop it by saying, well, you'll die too, because some people just don't care. But you can deter crime by prosecuting people who commit most crimes. Like, you know, if we had prosecuted the Wall Street firms when they destroyed the global economy, if Obama had done that, they might not have started cheating again and gouging consumers again. In terms of the Clintons, they've been using, as I detail in this Harper's piece, they've been using their foundation. It's obvious. It's a money laundering vehicle. They take in money. I wrote specifically about a Canadian entity that is closely linked to it, headed by a criminal businessman. Let's just say an alleged criminal businessman. I don't want to offend anyone. And in Canada, donors to charities do not have to be disclosed to even to the Canadian government. I mean, you can, you know, in the United States, you don't. Donors don't have to be disclosed to the public, but the IRS knows. In Canada, they have total privacy. So the Clintons have been taking in money via a Canadian nonprofit called the Clinton-Justra Economic Partnership and then funneling it into the United States. And there's no way to know the source of that income, because they just list the donor to the Clinton Foundation as the Canadian entity. And I have been told by excellent sources that the Canadian entity has accepted dirty money from members of royal families in the Middle East and from officials who are with the dictatorship of Equatorial Guinea in West Africa and the former government of Jacob Zuma in South Africa. But they give in Canada because they can stay secret, and then the Canadian entity funnels it on to the United States. It's a money laundering vehicle, and it's also an influence peddling vehicle, because donors to the Clinton Foundation got the attention of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and she very clearly paid close attention to what some of the donors to the Clinton Foundation wanted.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, that's the direction I want to go now. Do you happen to remember, Ken, Bill Clinton's first day out of power, January 21st, 2001?
Well, didn't he pardon? No, he pardoned Rich on his last day in office.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about the next day.
When he was that? When he a few days, very soon after, I know he founded the Clinton Foundation after surrendering his law license because he lied about Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, that's something. Well, no, the thing I was thinking of, it must have been where he got the money to found his foundation in the first place. He gave a speech to Citigroup in Florida. Well, I'm 90% sure it was in Florida. It was the first thing he did, and they paid him $150,000 or something.
Oh,
good job, Bill.
Yeah, great job as president. Talk about it immediately, Cash.
Immediately. I mean, it was the next day, unless my brain is completely short-circuiting. I remember it from then going, wow, boy, that guy, again, with the shamelessness. They just don't even figure anybody's watching, and mostly they're right. Just go ahead.
It's true, and, you know, he also, I mean, look, I don't care about the, you know, Clinton's sex conduct with Monica Lewinsky, I think was shameful, and Monica Lewinsky has written about that. But I think there was a, you know, Ken Starr was a, I've written before, a twisted zealot in pursuing Clinton over his private sexual misconduct. I mean, I don't believe that he should have been impeached or prosecuted or persecuted for what he did with Monica Lewinsky. It was bad in my view, but it's not an impeachable offense. I mean, so, but the thing is, like, he lied about it to the public. And in depositions. I mean, he just lied, and then he later admitted he lied. He said he had to choose between, I can't remember, I don't have it in front of me, but he said something like he had to choose between lying or telling the truth no matter how painful. And so what he didn't say, but what is obvious is I chose to lie. It was convenient for me to lie, so I just lied. And that tells you a lot about him. He doesn't even understand that when he says, I had a choice between lying or telling the truth, and I opted to lie, it says a lot about a person. When you acknowledge that and you don't even realize the confession you're making, that's what he was confessing to is, I will say anything and do anything if it serves my interest. So nothing he says can be trusted.
Oh, hell, I mean, the guy lied every single day he was in power from 93 on, but yeah, and of course, in that case, too, he was the guy who signed the law making it a federal civil rights issue for somebody to sexually harass somebody else. So, I mean, not like that's anything anywhere near constitutional at that point, but making that a federal matter. But anyway, he's the one who did it, and then he wants to cry that he got sued under the very damn thing that he's the one who signed. And then he went and lied to a federal grand jury, which, to paraphrase his previous rape victim, Juanita Broderick, her son was a lawyer, and told her, Mom, you can't lie to the grand jury. You know, lying in a deposition and saying he didn't rape you is one thing, but you can't lie to Ken Starr and the federal grand jury. They'll bury you under the prison. You have to tell the truth. And so she did. But Bill Clinton said, oh, I can lie to him. And so, hell yeah, he should have been buried under the prison for that. For the President of the United States to obstruct and to perjure himself in a federal court on any issue, the fact that it was there would have been good enough for any of us to get buried under the prison for perjury.
Exactly.
Good enough for him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Anyway, so tell us about these zillions of dollars of money laundering going on here. Because, well, and I still got a couple of minutes for this segment. Because you're talking about a criminal case here for a federal grand jury, Ken.
There's no question about it. And, I mean, you know, I write in the piece, you know, this may sound like Fox News conspiracy mongering. And this is the problem is that, you know, there's a lot of reporting on the right that is just pure partisan bullshit. And it's not backed up and sourced or, you know, you just can't trust it. But people then, you know, the Clintons then will say, oh, it's just a right-wing attack machine. And so then when you come along and you can actually document their wrongdoing, you sound like, unfortunately, because like the New York Times, even though the Times knows exactly what the Clintons are about, won't say it in black and white. They'll do it in the typical wishy-washy way that the mainstream, I hate that term, but it is, you know, the big mainstream outlets. They'll say like, well, you know, I mean, the Times did a piece recently on the Clinton Foundation that sort of buried its own conclusions in its typical even-handed way. You know, well, it looks bad, but gee, they do a lot of good charity work. No, they do very little charitable work. Very little of their money is spent on actual charity. And they use that then. You go through their foundation reports. It's really disgusting. I mean, you've got pictures of Chelsea Clinton who, you know, who's never accomplished anything in her life but gotten rich off the family name and, you know, got a job at MSNBC at one point because, you know, daddy and mommy were powerful. I mean, Chelsea's kissing little African babies who had AIDS. Oh, it's so sweet and wonderful. What they don't say is the Clintons made a fortune off of AIDS. And you can read that in a column I wrote for the New York Observer a few weeks ago.
Awesome. That one I'm going to Google up during the break. We're going to be right back with more from Ken Silverstein. Here he is writing at harpers.org on the blog there, Shaky Foundations, about the Clinton Foundation and their corruption and criminality. Right back after this. Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.
Don't you get sick of the Israel lobby trying to get us into more wars in the Middle East? Or always abusing Palestinians with your tax dollars? It once seemed like the lobby would always have full-spectrum dominance on the foreign policy discussion in D.C. But those days are over. The Council for the National Interest is the America lobby, standing up and pushing back against the Israel lobby's undue influence on Capitol Hill. Go show some support at councilforthenationalinterest.org. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org.
All right, y'all, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. Talking with Ken Silverstein from Harper's and the New York Observer here. Living off of AIDS. The Clintons, how'd you say, profiting off of AIDS, exploiting AIDS, some kind of fun thing like that. Ken, go ahead. What? I don't believe that the butcher of Waco would profit off of AIDS. It couldn't be. Go ahead.
Well, the Clinton family always will surprise you. They actually have cashed in on AIDS. One of the things that their alleged charity, the Clinton Foundation, does is buy pharmaceutical drugs and provide them to poor people in Africa, Asia, and other parts of the so-called developing world. And the Clinton Foundation registered an entity to do this in Massachusetts, and it was run by Ira Magaziner, who was a veteran of the Clinton administration. The Bill Clinton administration, and who was a, you know, healthcare specialist. He ran this nonprofit charitable entity to combat AIDS out of the same office where he ran his for-profit private consulting firm. And ultimately, to make a long story short, and you can go to my story at the New York Observer, the state of Massachusetts shut down the charity. They canceled its registration because of its shoddy accounting work and its failure to disclose what nonprofits are supposed to disclose and its breaking of the law. There's no question it broke the law.
It's the Hillary Care architect who's got the corrupt consultancy firm with the corrupt privatization, public-private partnership sort of thing going on there. And also is failing to carry out the so-called public end of it at all, which is helping the poor victims other than getting them kissed on the forehead by the angel Chelsea.
Exactly. And so you have this situation where they're receiving vast millions of dollars from multiple donors to buy AIDS drugs. And all I can say is it's complicated. We're on a radio program where we don't have a lot of time. Read my New York Observer column on Sidney Blumenthal from a few weeks ago. Just Google my name and Sidney Blumenthal, who in my new piece, which I urge you to read as well, that one at Harper's, I say that putting Sidney Blumenthal into a clean political system is like putting Typhoid Mary into an orphanage. When it comes to AIDS, they took in a lot of money, millions and millions and millions of dollars from donors to buy AIDS drugs and distribute them cheaply. And what they did instead was, you know, a little bit of that, and they profited a lot. They did buy, you know, it's hard to tell because they're accounting, and that's the whole point of my story today, is just how criminally corrupt their accounting procedures are. They bought some AIDS drugs. Who knows how much they spent? All I know is they spent a whole lot less on AIDS drugs than they took in from donors like the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation. Big name donors gave them a lot of money to fight AIDS, and they profited from it. They did buy AIDS drugs. They distributed AIDS drugs. But all I can tell you is I wish I was in that business because I'd be really rich. If I operated the way the Clintons did, I would be very, very rich. I wouldn't have any scruples or morals, but I would have a lot of money. And that's what you have with the Clinton family, people who have no scruples or morals but have made a lot of money and who are deemed to be politically protected and hence not prosecuted to date by the IRS or Treasury. You know, they don't have their businesses shut down by the FBI. They don't suffer the indignities that the little people
Well, and Ken, look, I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, an ex-president. We're talking about the Secretary of State, the former Secretary of State from the current administration, who's currently the, you know, preordained supposedly candidate for president of the United States from one of the two major parties in this country. And what you're talking about in this article, and, you know, Harper's is not known for right-wing crankery. I'm pretty sure you didn't, you're not just copying and pasting from Frank Gaffney here or anything like that. You're saying there's direct correlation showing causation between money from foreign governments into the Clinton charity that then, you know, basically you can see the pattern, you say in the article, where it's clear that what they're buying is access to her and access to speeches by the former president. But this is while she is the Secretary of State, and she's getting, you know, they're getting special access to the Secretary of State of the United States for this.
There's no question about it. It's, you know, as I lay it out, and, you know, go ahead. Clinton supporters, go read the piece and tell me where I went wrong. I'm waiting. You know, the Clinton Foundation declined to comment for the story. I told them more or less exactly what I was reporting. I've written two prior stories on them. I should also mention the third one. The first one was for Byline, which is a crowdsourcing site for investigative journalists. And if you like my work, I am broke because I shouldn't say that. I do not make a lot of money because I quit a job earlier this year at The Intercept. That paid me a lot of money, but I couldn't look myself in the mirror, so I now am able to write what I want to write. I don't get paid a lot of money, so I raise money through Byline. So if you go to, let me double check. I think it's byline.com. You can, or just Google my, you know, Byline and Ken Silverstein if you like my work. And I'm trying to raise money for my work because, you know, if you like the sort of reporting I do and that I'm talking about here, I need to get paid to keep doing it. So
that's cool, man. Yeah, you know, I got a thing like that at Patreon. It sounds like maybe Byline is more along the lines. Patreon is supposed to be for artists and stuff, and I'm not that, but
well, whatever. That, you know,
I'm for what you're doing there. I'm for that. Byline, I'm sure it's byline.com. Well, hell, I'll Google it right now. Keep talking.
Well, in any case, you know, I've written three stories about it now, about the Clinton Foundation now. They've all been very hard-hitting. The Clinton Foundation has declined comment for all three. And the Canadian entity that I mentioned, which is, you know, collects money in Canada anonymously and then funnels it on to the Clinton Foundation. It's a money laundering vehicle for the Clinton Foundation. That organization basically declined comment as well. They said, from now on, we're going to release the names of all of our donors, just like the Clinton Foundation. Oh, that's really encouraging. Let me just say that so far to date, they have released the names of 30 donors, and they have more than 1,000 whose names they haven't named. So now they're going to release the names of their donors? Well, that's really great, because I'm sure now, you know, Mary Howe Lamb and those sorts of people will be donating to this Canadian entity, but I want the names of the last 1,000 donors they kept secret. Who are they shielding? Who are they not disclosing to protect the Clinton Foundation? That's what I want to know. I don't care about the future donors. Let's talk about the past donors.
All right. Now, for 45 seconds, is there anything to worry about Bill Clinton's ties to this child rapist down in Florida?
Well, I am here actually to blow my own horn. So look at a piece I did, the first column I wrote for the New York Observer about Jeffrey Epstein. Again, Google my name, Ken Silverstein with Jeffrey Epstein. I have nothing in common with this guy. He's a creep. He's a great friend of Bill Clinton's, and that's another story. There are a lot of stories around the Clintons that should blow up and could blow up, and I hope they do before Hillary becomes president, because then we're all screwed.
All right, y'all, that is Ken Silverstein. He's writing at Observer.com, the New York Observer, Observer.com, and also at Harper's.org on the blog there. Thanks very much, Ken. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
This part of the Scott Horton Show is sponsored by Audible.com. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show, you can get your first audiobook for free. Of course, I'm recommending Michael Swanson's book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. Maybe you've already bought The War State in paperback, but you just can't find the time to read it. Well, now you can listen while you're out marching around. Get the free audiobook of The War State by Michael Swanson, produced by Listen and Think Audio, at audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment, MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to mpvengineering.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com.